Welcome on into the 7 o'clock hour of our Wednesday, October 2nd edition of Sports Talk. Going to be another Pelicans Power Hour today. Going to get to our credentialed NBA writer covering the Pels, Ali Cosell, after the first break. Also get into some audio as the Pels are in training camp. And man, oh man, first preseason game will be Monday afternoon in the Smoothie King Center. We'll have that right here for you on 870 AM, 1230 tip-off. Looking forward to seeing and hearing from this Pelican squad this year. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, yep. Cullen, that I think a lot of it gets overlooked on what this team was able to do last year because of the disappointing ending to the year. Obviously, Zion got hurt, and then they were bounced from the postseason. But 49 wins for the franchise is nothing to bat an eye at.
No, and everybody I think is higher on Zion's finish last year. You know, 70 games played out of like 82. I think I did the math like last Wednesday. It's like 85% of the season. It's by far the most. I think his previous was like 62 or something like that.
Looks like a different guy. Sounds like a different guy.
He's got the beard. He looks a little looser, a little, I don't want to say fitter, but he's always
definitely
looked good.
Yeah, you're right. He has. I think you mentioned media day that he dropped 15 more pounds.
Yeah, and then on the inverse, we've got, I want to say it was Trey Murphy. It might have been Herb Jones, but it might have been Murphy who's putting on weight.
Yeah, Trey's bulked up so he can bang more on the boards.
But for me, it's DeJounte Murray. It's all this talk I've heard about him being this alpha leader, and it's like, it's Zion's the alpha in a sense that he'll go out there and he'll be the star, but he might not like lead the team. He might not be the one calling the shots. You can give him the ball and kind of just let him take it from there, but that's like more lone wolf, like solo. He can do well by himself. But Murray, I cannot tell you how excited I am to have him as our point guard and just leading, you know, being the like set upper, being the one who we had him on for with Newell and Deuce on last Monday or this Monday?
This Monday.
This
Monday. Media day, right?
Dude, these days are October is hitting me like
believe
a brick, man.
I hear you.
I am wasting away. But we had him on and everything, and he was talking about how like at the end of the day, he wants to get the best out of these other guys, the guys around him. He wants to set them up to do better than he wants them to. You know, he wants to set them up for greatness. And it was like, I like CJ McCollum. I like the leaders we've had.
Right.
We haven't had this. We've never had this.
And you put the pairing of him and Herb Jones in the backcourt for this team. What a defensive duo. Cannot wait for them to shut down the opposition. I think we're in day two of training camp today for the Pelicans. Head coach Willie Green spoke to the media. Here's some of the highlights of what he had to say.
Man, what's kind of stood out to you about just how DeJounte leads and what he kind of prioritizes and what he kind of communicates with the guys?
He's a big-time relationship guy. So he's going up to guys. He's talking. He's talking through plays. He's asking them where they want the ball. He's holding each other accountable defensively. But he's putting in the work. So when you put in that type of work, you know, you're building up equity with all your teammates.
And just getting a chance to see him on the court with the guys, how do you think he's trying to change the dynamics on both ends?
No, he adds another elite basketball player. Basketball player, basketball mind. He wants to come in and help us be the best that we can be on both ends of the floor, really. And we're really appreciating his leadership. And like I said, all of these guys are leaders in their own way. And he adds to that dimension.
What do you think about DeJounte and CJ and how, you know, their games can mesh in the backcourt for you?
Yeah, well, I think the beauty of it is both of those guys, throughout the course of their careers, have played off other point guards or scoring guards. DeJounte did it early in San Antonio. He also did it in Atlanta. CJ early in his days, or, you know, almost his whole career with Damian Lillard. So those guys they're interchangeable. They can adjust on the fly. And I think it makes us, you know, a problem for other teams.
Willie, how much have you paid attention to how much better of a shot maker Herb Jones has become?
I think we're all paying attention to it. The work that he's done over the last few seasons to have an understanding of how teams are guarding him, he can knock down a shot. He's a threat. But he's also a threat because he's a high IQ basketball player. He can go in transition. He knows that if they're not guarding him, he can pitch the ball to Brandon. He can pitch it to Z, go set a screen, become almost like a five man and play from there. So Herb is getting better and better. And then I didn't even mention, you know, he's first team all defense.
Really?
So his instincts are incredible.
Yeah, is it always easy to say that a guy can go from being so good on defense to being almost equally as good on offense in such a short period of time in the NBA? Is his situation unusual?
Well, I think when you work as hard as he does, you know, sky's really the limit. And he's the first one at practice pretty much every day. He's one of the last guys to leave. So it's not a coincidence that Herb is having the success that he's having thus far. And even when you look at him in college, you know, he was one of their primetime players. So he is accustomed to having the ball in his hands, making plays. And, you know, he's doing a bit more of that.
What do you want to see Trey get better?
Well, I think Trey's getting better. You know, all these guys are getting better and better as they progress. For Trey, it's staying elite at the things that he does well. He shoots the cover of the ball. He's one of the he's in the top in the NBA in rim finishing at the basket. So just continuing on those areas, rebounding is an area of improvement and becoming even a better defender.
Eve is a relative newcomer to the game. I mean, what do you just want to see from him in year one in the NBA?
Just continue to work hard and compete. For Eve, just coming in, competing, block every shot that you can. I don't care where you are on the floor, if you can go get it, go get it. Rebound the ball, screen, dive, finish. Things that we've talked to him about, and thus far he's doing it, and he's pretty impressive.
And you guys have always prioritized being disruptive, forcing turnovers on defense. How much do you think that can go up to another level with DeJounte and Tice, you know, being added to the lineup?
I think it's going to continue to get better. With those guys on the floor, DeJounte being another all-defensive player, Herb, adding Tice, we can be pretty disruptive. And when we are, those lead to transition opportunities. They lead to catch-and-shoot threes. Rim finishing, getting to the free throw line. So it opens up the floor for us offensively.
That was some of head coach Willie Green from today's Pelicans training camp session. Looking forward to preseason game number one Monday in the Smoothie King Center, the Orlando Magic in town.
I wanted to mention, you said we are what? Like it's Monday, same day as the Chiefs game?
Right, exactly.
That's the opening of the preseason.
We got New Orleans sports all day.
3 weeks from today is the opening of the regular season.
3 weeks from today,
okay. It's the 23rd. We will open against, who do we open against? I know it's a, God, I'm blanking so hard. I want to say it's like the Hawks or something like that. Don't quote me on it. I'm pulling it up. Give me 2 seconds, 3 seconds. The Bulls in
at
home. So 3 weeks from today, 7 p.m. local time at home, and then we go on a four-game stretch in Portland and Golden State, but 3 weeks from today, we are 3 weeks out from the official regular season of the NBA.
Yeah, for preseason action, too, Monday will be the only home game for the Pels. Then they play at Orlando, at Miami, at Houston. So if you want to see some Pels preseason action, 12:30 in the Smoothie King Center, or you can listen right here on WWL 870 AM for that 12:30 tip-off.
Yeah, it's Friday against Orlando, at Orlando again at 6 p.m., Sunday game on the 13th, and then Tuesday the 15th. So there'll be a break from Tuesday the 15th until the following Wednesday the 23rd, where, you know, it's like, it's that, you know, like the NFL does, where it's like, you know, the third preseason game, and then there's nothing, and then week one. So that'll be the nothing period, an 8-day span, and then October 23rd, you know, mark it on your calendars, people. That is when the Pelicans regular season starts, right here on WWL. I cannot wait. I can't contain the excitement, man.
Man, you got me looking at the regular season schedule now, and after that Chicago game there, man, how about those schedule makers?
I know.
The makers doing back-to-back games in Portland and then back-to-back games at Golden State. What is up with that?
I think they call it baseball series, where it's like, it's where you go to someone else's place.
Not even a home and away. You just do an away and away.
Yeah, it's like you go to someone else's place, and then you basically, like, you spend the night. I mean, they will play, they'll have a day off in between the Portland game, but they'll have back-to-back Tuesday, Wednesday night in Golden State against the Warriors. And it's like, it'll be rough, but it's kind of, I mean, they're used to it. I will say, what, first five games, they have three 9 o'clock starts.
I guess the having back-to-back away games in the same venue, at least you're not having to travel, so you get that benefit of getting worn down from traveling. Because I know folks that maybe not don't think it's that big of a deal, but it is brutal having to go on the road.
There's a reason. I mean, well, we talked about it a lot last year as well about how, you know, the NBA doesn't have, like the NFL does, or even college football, this home court advantage. It's just not as prominent. If anything, the most advantage or disadvantage you have is the travel. It's staying in another town. It's not being back home. It has nothing to do with the fans, the arena, where you're playing.
Maybe the air in Denver.
Maybe the air in Denver. You know, maybe going up to, like, you know, the Lakers or something like that. Like, it's not, there's no stigma around it. There isn't. It's not there, and you know you
yeah,
don't
at least
have
from
that.
Portland to Golden State is not a dramatic road trip either. It's a nice short flight for them.
But to make up for that, though, you have those things you don't have in the NFL, which ironically the Saints will have next week with the whole rest advantage and rest disadvantage, where a team, you know, you might have a game where it's like you'll play on Tuesday, October 29th, and Golden State could have a game the day before, whereas you wouldn't. The Pels actually do. They will play on the 27th, so they won't have anything on the 28th of October. The Warriors might. And in that advantage, you will have not played the day before, but they will. Granted, you're traveling, so like it kind of somewhat evens out, but there are those things. I know I mentioned it a lot when the schedule came out. We'll mention it a lot throughout the year that, like, all right, guys, be prepared. Pelicans are at a rest disadvantage tonight. So it's like they played last night, the other team didn't, that kind of deal. It's not something you see in the NFL. It's something we'll talk about all year long.
We'll get more into the Pelicans after the break. Ali Cosell, credentialed NBA writer, will be joining us as we talk all things training camp. And like we said, getting ready for preseason basketball. I know we are neck deep in football season, but the NBA just around the corner. We got the Pels Monday afternoon in the Smoothie King Center. We'll be right back with more sports talk after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Rocking and rolling in our Pels Power Hour here on WWL. Ali Cosell, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans, now joins us. Ali, hard to believe we are back at it again. NBA season just around the corner. I can't believe we're talking about a preseason game in the Smoothie King Center on Monday.
Yeah, I'm excited. Look, it's been a hot minute since I've talked to you, so I knew that we went through a little bit of a quiet part, which is always the case,
right,
late August into September. But yeah, things have geared up, and I'm telling you what, I think people should be excited. I think this Pelicans small ball unit that it looks like we're going to see a lot of, whoever, regardless, is out there on the floor, is going to play good winning basketball. At least that's what I'm hearing from everybody.
Yeah, that's a good point to start off, because I think obviously the lack of a big-time center, I think, has been a lot of the talk for this Pelicans squad. But you mentioned with this small ball lineup, can this team survive in the wild, wild west without that high-noted big-time big man? Obviously, they do have some talent on the roster, but was definitely seemed like a glaring deficiency on this team.
Yeah, look, I mean, you still have to wonder, right, how are they going to fare against, say, Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets when you play in Minnesota, right? They go Gobert, and I know they just trade away Karl-Anthony Towns, but look, they're also going to have Julius Randle, Naz Reid, and there's several other teams, right? Joel Embiid, how are you going to stack up against them? But from what I understand is they're not worried. They think that Daniel Tice, honestly, can handle a lot, and I'm hearing that Trey Jameson, who I don't know if Pelicans fans remember, he was here in New Orleans for at least a little bit before he went on to Memphis Grizzlies, but he saw a lot of time and he got a lot of real minutes last season. So they feel like when you've got to face a legitimate center, that they'll be able to hold their own. And here's the big point. They have a defense that is crafted basically from their wings. These wings are the ones that prevent from opponents getting too many, especially multiple shots inside the lane, right? They can't get in there because our guys basically get in front of them, keep them in front of them so they don't get to the rim. And that's what they're banking on. And if they can do that, and I think DeJounte Murray is going to help, even though they've lost Dyson Daniels, Najee Marshall, then I think they're going to be fine. The real key, like they've been saying through these first couple of days of training camp, Steve, is rebounding, right? Can you box out? Can you limit the opponent to just one shot per possession more times than not? If they can, I think they'll be fine.
You mentioned the rebounding, a guy that has beefed up on this team. We kind of talked about it, me and Cullen, a little bit. Trey Murphy up to 215 pounds. I know he said, obviously, I'm not going to be this huge post stopper for the team, but he's willing to hold his own down there.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's a perfect point. Because, right, you're not going to ask him to play small ball center, play Larry Nance's role or whoever that should be at the five. Because that's still undersized, right? We know that you have to be 250 pounds. But what you need is just basically to be able to box out, to keep and hold your position when you're going up for rebounding, when you're fighting for inside battles, to be stronger and to have enough girth. And we know Zion can do that. But you have to wonder a little bit about the rest of the team. But when Trey Murphy's added, say, about 10 pounds from the previous season, And I think a lot, some of the other players have gotten stronger. I heard even B.I. have gotten stronger. That's going to help, and that's what you're going to have to hope for, right? Because, look, Oklahoma City did it last season, and I think that's what you look for, right? Small ball teams have a chance when you can do enough of what you've got to handle, just like the Golden State Warriors when you had Draymond Green playing the five. If you can just keep the opponent from getting too many easy baskets, and that's, like I said, on drives and, of course, offensive rebounding, then I think you're going to be fine. And this team in the past has always done well, even when they haven't had Giannis, right? Steve, I've got to put this point across. Giannis barely played towards the end of last season, yet the Pelicans really went on a nice run to finish the season strongly before, of course, they failed in the play-in tournament, or I should say the playoffs. But to get to that point, I think they're going to be fine.
Ollie, I got a question that might not be on everybody's mind, but it is on mine. We're looking at this lineup. We've got Murray, McCollum, Ingram, Williamson. We got Messi. I want to hear about Reeves. I want to hear about that draft pick because I've heard a comp recently down here. It's not a basketball comp. It's a draft comp about how LSU is wide receiver U and Kentucky is basically like SGU. It's like there's two things guaranteed in life other than death and taxes, and that's LSU will print wide receivers and Kentucky will print guards, good shooting guards. And I know all eyes are going to be on the starting core, but what are we seeing with Reeves?
Yeah, so with Reeves, first of all, he shined brightly, I thought, in Las Vegas. He was definitely one of the best players. That's where we were hoping Jordan Hawkins, especially being in his second summer league a few months ago, would have shined brighter, but he didn't, right? He struggled a little bit. Antonio Reeves, I thought, played even better than Hawk. So that bodes well. Look, I don't have to tell anybody, if you can score at Kentucky and you're one of their best players, and, of course, he left that program as one of their leading or all-time scorers, even though most of their players move on, right, they just play a year or two. But still, it says a lot to me because that's the best competition in the world, right, SEC basketball. And this guy, when you watched him play in Las Vegas a few months ago, you could see he was unfazed, right? He plays the game. He doesn't play above the rim. He doesn't have that ultra-quick burst, like, say, even the DeJounte Murray. But what he does do well is he plays well within in his own game to where he's got that kind of jerkiness, that decisive yet deceiving ball handling, can get to the rim one way or another. But the best thing is he can shoot from any part of the floor. So that's what you like. And I feel like that's where the Pelicans are going to be fine. Look, last year they finished fourth in three-point field goal percentage. The problem was they just didn't shoot enough threes. This year, I know that they're going to shoot more. They're not going to be feeding the post. They're not going to be attacking the rim unless it's on drive. So you're going to have to shoot more three-pointers. And I think this team's built to do that. If they do that, just like OKC did last year, I think offense is going to be one of the best in the league, right? Offense is not going to be a problem. So guys like Antonio Reeves, I'm not sure if he'll crack the rotation, right? You got to jump over Jordan Hawkins, maybe even like a Javonte Green. But if he can, then that's going to bode well, right, for the Pelicans, because that competition means if he emerges from that, that means he's deserving the spot, and he's going to be able to knock down shots. Whoever plays for Willie Green as primarily a shooter like Hawkins, like Reeves, I guarantee you they're going to be comfortable in their role and they're going to have success. And we're going to see it in the preseason, hopefully. But Reeves, I know down the road, I think that's where I've got him circled for, right? I think that's where the Pelicans are so hopeful about him. Because I think C.J. McCollum, right, he's got a couple more years left on his contract, but somebody's going to have to fill his role, right? You can't be paying $30 million to the next guy because of all the guys that are above him making that similar type of money. So guys like Reeves, Hawkins, one of those two are going to have to emerge. And I really like Reeves' chances.
Awesome stuff. Looking at the big man, obviously, everybody excited about Zion Williamson after what he was able to accomplish last season, staying on the court. And you could just tell he has a different attitude, different mindset. Maybe now even being a father kind of helps him being a more mature player that cares about his conditioning, cares about his body and taking care of himself. Really looking forward to seeing how he can build onto that heading into this year. And I know a lot of folks have even talked about him trying to improve his game, getting a better outside shot.
Yeah. Look, Zion, I know, is entering his sixth season, and he's not lived up to expectations, right? Everybody expected for him to enter the NBA and become, honestly, one of the faces, kind of like John Morant.
Yeah.
But because of injury, that didn't happen. But the other key reason was, honestly, he just wasn't in his even close to his best shape, right, conditioning-wise. So he says he's going to get to 270 pounds, which is going to be far below the 284, 285 that he started with during his rookie season, right? And that was, 5 years ago. And if he can do that, I think we're going to see a guy that's got more stamina throughout a game. We're going to see him be able to play on both sides of the ball. And that's what he even believes. He's like, when I'm honestly at my optimal type of playing weight, I've got more energy. I can give more on both ends. And we saw that, right? That's been the part of the problem, Steve. We've had Zion where on offense, yeah, he's usually an unstoppable force. But defensively, right, there wasn't that same kind of burst motivation, inspiration, where it led to a lot of good results. And that especially showed up in the rebounding department. But now that he's, like I said, probably feeling more energetic, going to have more stamina, that's going to help. And that's going to help be able to for the Pelicans to play small ball, right? Trey Murphy gaining weight, that's positive. Zion losing weight, that's a positive in helping this new style that I think we're really going to see to honestly enjoy some success, because that's what it's going to take, right? Guys playing at their optimal weight and not being able, or excuse me, being able to hold your own, right, when you're battling the opponents. So, yeah, Zion, I'm telling you what, I really feel like this is going to be his first All-NBA campaign. I know he's been an All-Star before, but being one of the top 15 players in the league, he hasn't done that yet. I really think he's going to check that box this year.
No, I love it. I'm right there with you just because, Ali, like I said, he just seems to get it now. I, obviously, being a young player coming into the league, a lot was thrust upon him, and so much was made about the guy's weight, his bad eating habits, whatever. But now it just seems, even last year, he just – something has clicked for him, and he really just understands what it really truly takes to be a pro.
Yeah, honestly, every time we've talked to either him or people around him, really, honestly, that game against the Lakers in that that in-season tournament, that was the trigger point, right? The Pelicans weren't playing bad ball leading into that tournament because they had turned their season around about a month before that. But they fell flat on their faces on national TV. And Zion, more than anybody else, looked just so unenthusiastic, just didn't look like he was even out there trying. And I think that sank, honestly, in the depths of his soul, right? When you grow up being a guy who's compared to the all-time greats, when your mom is giving you videos of, you know, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, right? Some of the real all-time greats. And your expectation is you should be on that level. And when you don't meet it, and look, last year he was in his fifth season, right? And that all has to come and weigh on you. And I finally think all of those things came together and the light bulb turned on. So ever since then, right, we've seen Zion last year, for instance, he got in better shape as the season progressed. But this year, he's going to finally start a season where he's going to be in tip-top shape. He's going to have more confidence than ever in his game because he didn't spend a summer rehabbing. So like I said, I think we're going to get the full Zion experience this year.
Yeah, a guy that I know who had to be rehabbing, Brandon Ingram. Just curious, his health right now, I'm pretty sure he's good to go, full systems ahead with him. But also, where does he kind of fit now on this offensive team?
Yeah, so mentally is where all my questions resided, right?
Okay.
We saw the turbulent summer. He still has not gotten an extension. And there was honestly no real interest in him from other teams around the league. Once free agency started. And of course, for a guy that's made max money, been either the top player, the second best player on a team, his entire NBA career, that really probably resonated with him to the point where he had to do some deep soul searching. And he kind of told us that on media day. He spent this summer, and he honestly said it was the best summer of his life. He said he finally feels at peace to where he knows that he's just going to go and be himself. That he doesn't have to go and either listen to somebody's advice and try to meet their expectations or what have you. But it, like I said, I expected for a guy to honestly have a lot of, kind of divisive answers, right? Because we gave him tough questions, right? Are you worried about your career here in New Orleans? Contract status, all this. And he seemed to honestly answer all of them with ease. So from that standpoint, I'm honestly not worried at all about him being a disruption. But you're right. Now it matters. How's he going to fit on the floor? And for a guy that honestly was, I think they're basically their point guard on the floor last season, right? He was directing the offense. That's going to be the biggest adjustment for him because now you've got Zion who's ready, right, to handle the ball. That's where last year it took a couple months before I think the coaching staff felt Zion could handle the offense to initiate it at times. But now you've got Zion in that great conditioning. And, of course, you've got DeJounte Murray. B.I.'s going to have to take kind of a back seat. But what he's going to be able to do, I think, is play off of these guys to where now you're going to have more catch and shoots. Now you're going to be able to get the ball in your spots on the floor and not be looking at two or three defenders. You're not going to have you know, say some of these toughest defenders in the league, and like Lou Dort, for instance, the way he got shut down against OKC in the last playoff series. Now you're going to be able to have more freedom. I honestly think he's going to enjoy a pretty good season. The only question I've got, Steve, is he just going to shoot enough threes? Because that was one thing that I think everybody was saying, even on media day. He's got to shoot more. Willie Green said it. And I think B.I. even knows that. So if he shoots enough threes like he used to, he used to average about 6 threes per game when he won Most Improved Player his first season in New Orleans and the season after. But those numbers slipped from them. But if he could get back to that, I think that's going to be very fruitful for the Pelicans' offense. And also, it's going to help him land a better contract, right? He's going to score more efficiently, and he's not going to bog down the offense or just be relied upon to do it. When if he's just within the flow of the game, I think everything's going to work more seamlessly from there. And, of course, that's all going to pay off, right? Pelicans are going to be more winners. He's going to probably get that contract either from the Pelicans or another team sometime between now and next year.
Well, Ali, definitely appreciate the time. We'll be talking to you soon, and looking forward to more of this coverage. And we got a preseason game on Monday. Like I said, hard to believe it's here already.
Yeah, I can't wait, because guess what? Orlando Magic, they've got size, right? And that's a team where B.I. last season got that injury. But before that, the Pelicans always struggled to beat this team. So I'm actually loving the matchup for them. It's going to be a good first test.
Yeah, back-to-back, too. Then they go at Orlando for the next preseason game. Always appreciate it, Ali. Thank you so much, and have a great night, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You do the same. Have a good weekend.
For sure. Credentialed NBA writer who covers the Pelicans, Ali Cosell. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ali Cosell. That's O-L-E-H-K-O-S-E-L on Twitter. We'll come back with more of our Pelicans Power Hour after this. You're going to hear from C.J. McCollum and Trey Murphy right here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, our Pelicans Power Hour rolls on. We heard from head coach Willie Green earlier in this segment. Now we're going to get to some of the players. C.J. McCollum and Trey Murphy did a joint practice post-interview, and here's what the duo had to say as they go through training camp day two.
What's kind of stood out to y'all just getting the first couple practices out of the way, seeing, you know, what the new look roster looks like?
Just fast. I feel like our first day was a pretty good first day. You know, a lot of times it gets real sloppy, but, you know, it's my fourth training camp now. So getting up there in age, and it's probably one of the better first days that I've seen. And so definitely we got a good group of guys.
I think Willie talked about the importance of rebounding this year without JV, you know, especially when you guys go to the wing heavy lineups. You know, how important is that for everybody to play a part in that, you think?
No, it's super important. I mean, shoot, we got guys like CJ getting 3 offensive rebounds in practice, so that's huge. We got to get rebounds from everybody. We got to get contributions from everybody, because we aren't the tallest team, so we just got to make sure we are the more physical team and, you know, the way that we can.
CJ, you, look, I think over your career, you've talked about this, like, you can play with anybody. Is that something you take pride in of, yeah, I can be on the ball, I'd be really effective, and DeJounte's coming in this year, and it might be a little bit different. Do you take pride in just, like, I guess, you know, versatility and being able to change your role?
Yeah. I mean, I've played every role throughout my career, and I know how to move without the ball. I know how to be on the ball. I know how to dribble handoffs. I know how to be a corner boy and get out the way. So I think it's important that, you know, as you continue to grow and evolve with the game and as the game evolves, you have to be able to adapt. And, you know, being able to catch and shoot is a skill set that I have and a skill set that I've utilized throughout my career. And being able to rely upon that will be really beneficial for our team and for myself individually. So that's something that, you know, I'm comfortable with doing and something that I did alongside Dame for a long time.
Trey, you've done a great job being Robin the Batman here. How do you expect to see your game grow this year? What do you work on particularly during the offseason to kind of help your game grow a little more?
Just overall, you know, being decisive, being aggressive in my spots. Definitely work on on-ball stuff. I still understand that, you know, we still got guys that are primary ball handlers. But in transition, those are times and opportunities to drive the ball. And just be aggressive, find different ways to get more points on the board.
Trey, I think, you know, everybody is probably going to, like, have to play up a position at times this year. I mean, I guess when you guys are throwing these wing lineups on the floor, I mean, are you, like, going into the season preparing for, like, okay, there's going to be times where I'm guarding power forwards, or maybe I have to spend a few possessions on Vucevic on opening night or anything like that? Like, is that something you're thinking about going into this year?
On 215. I mean, I gained some weight for a reason. I'm not saying I'm the post stopper, but I mean, I'm going to hold my own down there.
CJ, how much do you think your role will change this year, whether it be coming off the bench or starting five?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just impact of winning, honestly. We have a lot of good players, a lot of guys that are capable of starting and finishing games, but for us, it's about doing whatever it takes to win, putting our best foot forward and continuing to contribute towards winning. But I can play a lot of different roles, and I think for us, it's about coaches making the decisions and us kind of following suit and helping impact.
So you're not opposed to being that sixth guy off? I mean, I know you've been a starter all your life, but I mean, pretty much.
I think the biggest thing is whatever it takes to win. I'm not going to volunteer, but if that's what the coach wants to do, that's what he wants to do. I think the biggest thing for us is to play. Our job is to play the game at a high level, and I don't get paid to coach. I don't get paid to make decisions. I get paid to go out there and do what I'm told. So I think that's the mindset coming into this season. But, I mean, I've been a quality player for a long time and look forward to continuing to be that.
Is that maybe the thing that everyone has to deal with the most this year is you have to accept the role you're given, whether it's you or Trey? Or
I think at the end of the day, if it's about winning, then that's what's important. I don't know that we have a set lineup. I think things are probably going to change throughout the year, to be honest, depending on matchups and who we play and injuries. There's so many things that go into a season that allows the season to change and kind of unfold. And the other thing is we got to go play. We got to all prove ourselves each day. We got to show that we can all play together and mesh, and there's going to be different combinations of lineups that have to be out there for us to kind of explore what's best for us. But I think at the end of the day, you know, we have a lot of good players, and the best players are going to play.
You heard there from C.J. McCollum and Trey Murphy, and mentioned earlier when we were speaking with Ollie Cosell, the word is Trey Murphy bulked up to 215 now to be more of that presence down on the boards.
He's like me. I'm bulking up. I tell you, I've been working out. I hit 126, heaviest I've ever weighed.
Really?
Well, I'm small. For everyone not being able to see me right now, for all the people out there, I am 5'3", 5'4" on a good day. I am very short. It runs in the family. And I also was like cross country and track in
high
school.
So where did you start out now with your weight, and what are you trying to bulk up to?
I wanted to hit 125, and I'm at 126, and I started at like 115. So 10 pounds in like 4 months, and it's just been working out, going to the gym.
You're ready to be that defensive presence on the glass,
too. I'm ready to get those rebounds. And Trey Murphy is as well. Like you're not expecting him to be the big man, especially in a lineup where you don't want to play that way, but you are expecting him to, like, the point where if Jonas is out and we didn't chase a big man in the offseason, which we didn't, I think you're going to make it up. Think of it in terms of like Moneyball. You're making it up in the aggregate. You know, yeah. you're like, the centers get X amount of rebounds. We need our players to divvy those up and average that total. We need them to, if center can get 10, then we need everybody to, you know, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. You have 5 players, there's 10 right there. So it's like, someone will have to step up somewhere, and Trey Murphy is doing his damn part.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, Ollie mentioned this too. It's like, the small ball lineup sounds great and all, I'm all aboard on it, but what happens when you do match up against like a team like the Denver Nuggets that's got a Nikola Jokic?
Yeah, and it's, you just have to hope that
he abuses us as is anyway.
Yeah, you have to hope that the shooting is right, because that's how you win in that situation, and you have to hope that like the leadership is there. And I at the moment, I think, just like with Ollie said, and we've heard, I mean, they ended it right there with like the best players are going to play. It's like, if they're shooting well, it doesn't matter who's on the court, how tall they are. It doesn't matter what the other team's lineup is. If you're making baskets, you're making baskets.
Folks, you want to be in that number when the Saints host Tampa Bay and Sean Payton and the Broncos? Well, you can enter to win WWL's Double Saints Game Day Giveaway. Double! Score a pair of premium game tickets to both games, plus VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. That's an open bar, premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May. Man, I mean, they have to take off game day and enjoy that. Oh, it's all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's that easy. You just go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win the tickets to Saints Tampa Bay and Saints Denver. That's from Dudley DeBosier, official injury lawyers of the Saints and WWL. Taking a break and be right back to close things out on our Wednesday edition of Sports Talk after this. Back here closing out Sports Talk. I want to remind everybody that me and Mike DiTilio will be at the Treasure Chest Casino tomorrow, folks. Make sure you stop by the game Game Bar and Grill. Say hey to us. We'll be breaking down Saints Week 5 matchup against those defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs. How can this black and gold squad pull off a stunner in Kansas City? Plus, what games are you most interested on Sunday that the Saints are playing on a Monday night? Also, we'll get into some Pelicans basketball and stick around for Thursday night football between the Atlanta Falcons and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That'll be on WWLAMFM.com and, of course, the free Odyssey app. Checking in on some of our postseason baseball scores, we are in the bottom of the fourth inning with the New York Mets on top of the Milwaukee Brewers, 3-1 in that matchup. We saw earlier today the Kansas City Royals advancing to the next round after taking down the Orioles 2-1 in that game, that series, I should say. And then the Astros go down 5-2. The Detroit Tigers taking that series 2-0. They advance on to take on the Cleveland Guardians. Do you have a favorite MLB team? Or you're not into baseball.
I don't. The only tidbit I have of that is I lived in Pittsburgh for a while, so I could root for the Pirates, and I now have
jump
a reason
on the
to.
Skeens train,
I can
right?
Jump on the Skeens train, and then as a young lad living, because I'm from here, and I spent most of my time growing up in Alabama.
Right.
Like, you're usually like, you know, down here it's like Astros and Braves, and up there it's mainly just Braves. But I did like a random team generator. I think I got given like the Cardinals when I was like 11. And so I'd like for a good 2 years, I adopted them as my team. And then I started to play baseball, realized I sucked, and lost all interest.
So you said the Alabama area, a lot of folks are
Braves through
and
Braves
through. Fans there.
Yeah,
huh?
Same thing with here. Like it's the closest team.
Well, I found when I first moved down here, it was like a ton of Chicago Cubs fans.
Yeah, there's like a Chicago contingent down here. I don't, I don't know why. There just is. But like,
I know that back in the day, everyone told me that WGN, you know, used to be broadcast.
Yes,
a ton
that's
here.
What it was. And it, you know, but if there's similar, you know what it might be? It's like us with Detroit for football. They're like a sister city. It's like, you know, I wouldn't hate a Cubs fan for being down here. You know.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. For Cullen Steele, I am Steve Geller. Make sure you tune in tomorrow and stop by the Treasure Chest Casino if you can and see me and Mike Dettillier. We'll be there 4-7, and then it'll be Thursday Night Football right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Have a great night. Thanks, everyone. Love you, New Orleans.